So I've said that the hymn that we sang, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, yes, is based on that Psalm 90. It's a psalm of memory. Verse 12 tells us it's a psalm of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. About the heart of wisdom. Oh, that we would have more wisdom. Oh, that I pray that there would be more wisdom in the world today than there seems to be apparent at this time. But it is a word. But if you notice at the top of the psalm, I don't know if you have it in your Bibles, it's a psalm of Moses. It's a prayer of Moses. That makes it one of the oldest psalms that we have. One of the oldest psalms. It's a prayer of Moses. And Moses is looking back as he comes to the ends of his life, and he's looking back through the wilderness experience, the memory. He's thinking about that. A generation has died. The wilderness would be littered with graves. He reflects the pictures that we have. That's not the don't. That can stay there. I'll come. That's the one. If you can imagine, littered with graves. That's what Flanders Field looks like. Littered with graves, row upon row. That was Moses' experience. They often say that even in times of trouble and war, there is still a degree of humour. Trench warfare in First World War was particularly macabre and awful. Obviously, the death, the suffering, the rats, the disease, everything, it was absolutely awful. But on an attack by the 12th Battalion of the Sherwood Foresters, as they were called, which you can see why they were called Sherwood Forest, the Foresters, and it was attacking Ypres. And when they came to Ypres, they actually found an old printing press. And the sergeant of the battalion had been a printer in peacetime before he went to war. He actually fixed it so that it would actually work, and that's a Banda machine. That shows my age, doesn't it? The old Gestetners. But he printed out some paper, a single sheet of paper for the trench, to go into the trenches, and they called it the Wipers Times, and you may see a picture. It's an original. You can't see it particularly well, but at the top it says Wipers Times, W-I-P-E-R-S. And the reason it was called the Wipers Times, and this is the humour, is because the average Tommy, that's the Englishman, the average Englishman in the trenches couldn't say Ypres. And so they used to call it Wipers. And so it was the Wipers Times, which I thought was really fascinating. But it was there to give them hope. And it had things in it that would really encourage them. Memories of home, maybe. I don't know. Today, there are tens of thousands of memories. When the war finished, people rejoiced. Bishop Taylor Smith said that people not only rejoiced, they wanted to pray. Those involved in the First World War have passed on. Those associated with the Second War, probably 99% plus, have passed on. And it's only memories of loved ones that stay with us. And we recognize today's a solemn day. We sang that hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Psalm 90, verse 1 starts, O Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. You know, in a changing world, my friends, where things come and go, in a world where human life seems so sure and then the wind blows and it is gone, can I tell you still to this day, there is one sure and certain place. There is one sure and certain person, and that is God. Only God doesn't change. Verse 3, in James' translation, it said, you return mankind to destruction. It literally means to dust. From dust to dust, you know, we clean our houses. And the dust is gone. Well, for a time. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its uns away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Have you ever dreamt? You wake up in the morning. It's very real, isn't it? For that length of time. And then it's gone. And then it's gone. Yet, you know, in the midst of this unchanging world is an unchanging God. And though this psalm is rather solemn, yet Moses is saying at the end of his life, as he looks back on that wilderness experience, as he looks about in the way that God has used him to deliver the people out of Egypt, all that's gone through, the miraculous signs, the pillar of fire, as he looks back on all those things, he is saying to us this morning, no matter what, look to God. Look to God. Because God is eternal, as this psalm is saying. He is omnipotent. He is awesome. There never was a time when God didn't exist. And the mountains, Everest, are just pinpricks on the canvas of the universe created by our God. He created all things. He sustains all things from everlasting to everlasting, we're told in verse 2. Eternity. Woody Allen actually said once, eternity is a very long time. Especially when you're getting to near the end. No. There is no end. There is no beginning with our God. He is unchanging. And when you contrast God and man, you can see why 1,000 years is like yesterday. All the things that you think of 1,000 years. What's happened in 1,000 years? Think of Michelangelo. On the left. We know his sculptures. We don't often know what he looks like, but that's Michelangelo. Or William Shakespeare, or Beethoven. You think of some of the wonderful things that have taken place, the printing press, which we have coming up next. Man's flight, you think, is on the moon. That's Tim Berners-Lee, so 1984, the World Wide Web. All these different things that have taken place over 1,000 years. Remarkable as yesterday to our God, just as a day. They've gone. Millions of people have come and gone in those 1,000 years. And yet for God, it's just a watch in the night. It's just a few hours, as it were. It's humbling, isn't it? Isn't it humbling? God is eternal. He is awesome. We're told also that he's holy and just. Verse 7 is quite a shock, really. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you. It's quite frightening. We sometimes think, I think the world thinks that God's a bit like a grandfather, you know, who just pats you on the head and says, have a sweet. That's not what the Bible says. He's holy, but he is just. He's good, but our God isn't domesticated. He is love, but he's not tame. He's kind, but you can't take him for granted. God is pure. God is holy, but God is just. He is just. And we're not talking about human wrath, of course. We're talking not something that is sort of, what would you call it, capricious. You know, by that I mean uncontrolled, irrational. But it is wrath in opposition to evil. And as we think of the wars, there's so much evil that's been going on. One of the liberating forces, Padres, or chaplain, he said the thing that he found when he went into some of the prison camps that had been there, he had a number of emotions. Firstly, the abhorrence that people could be treated like this, mankind could be treated like that. Secondly, it was pity and mercy, but the third thing was anger. It was anger. And he said, were we just, were we right to fight? I'm not getting into that argument at this particular point. We have a holy and just God, but look at verse 8, which I have read already. You have set our iniquities before you. We've all done things that are wrong, and we still do. And we're going to face a God, a just God, and that's frightening. Could be frightening. But you see, this psalm doesn't stay there. It doesn't stay there, it goes on. Because the final thing that I want to say very, very quickly is that God is compassionate and merciful. From verse 12 onwards, we get a series of prayers that Moses brings out. He cries out, teach us, Lord, satisfy us, Lord, have compassion, Lord, make us glad, Lord, show us your favor, Lord. You see, God isn't just merciful, but he is reachable. Have you ever reached out to God? Have you ever reached out to God? In your prayers, have you really grasped God? Only God can satisfy the heart. He gives us hope for the future. Yes, true hope for the future. Hope beyond the grave. If I go down to the floor and I stand in front of the grave of my father and my mother, I know it's not the end for them. It's not just memory that lives on. They are now in the presence of God where there is fullness of joy. And these things are true to those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, because greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. It is the greatest act of sacrifice the world has ever seen, where our Lord died on that cross so that we could be forgiven and have brought into that relationship with God, that satisfaction, as it were, within our hearts as never before, and a hope of eternal life. You know, for the Christian, we know death is not the end. It is a passing from one experience into a life of richer and fuller and deeper experience forever with the Lord. On a day like today, my friends, where is your hope? Where is your certainty? Where is your security? May it be in God alone, who is our dwelling place through all